When it comes to Cairn, South Africa has a history of punching way above its weight, but not this year.
It's tragic to not see our talent translating on that stage.
It is so annoying. We have the talent, right?
I think it's a bit unrealistic to think that great work can actually happen over 2 weeks. It's not enough.
We had a couple of pieces that we didn't award purely because we thought they had rushed it.
Every creative has a drawer of like decks just collecting dust of like ideas that have never seen the light of day.
I think that sometimes there's such a competitive spirit amongst ourselves that we forget that we're trying to also be one team on the global stage.
Everybody's making the same thing.
Making the safe choice in the short term doesn't have longevity. It doesn't lead to incredible work. It doesn't lead to careers that grow. It doesn't lead to brands that grow.
This is Talking in Creative Circles, the official podcast of The Creative Circle, the voice of South Africa's advertising industry, in partnership with Kagiso Media Radio.
When it comes to Cairn, South Africa has a history of punching way above its weight, but not this year. What shifted? What is needed to get back up on that global stage? Is it an industry issue, an agency issue, or is it simply not a priority anymore? I'm Keith Manning, Executive Creative Director at TBWA Hunt Lascaris. This year, I was lucky enough to judge a direct category at Cairn. What a privilege. A masterclass in so many things for me, and I really feel I managed to walk away with so many learnings. And today, I'm very fortunate. I have Zien Thuli, a director from Darling Films, and also a judge in the film craft category, as well as Tandeka Gilbert, creative group head from McCann Joburg, and she judged the industry craft category. Welcome, guys. How are you doing?
Good, man.
Yeah, really good. Thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, man, I'm good. So here we go. Let's get started. Tandeka, tell us about your category. What kind of work you judged and what were your learnings?
So as you said, I had the pleasure of judging the industry craft category and it was really, really fun. I think it was really, really extraordinary to be in a room with so many smart people from across the world. It was fun. It was intense. It was stimulating. It was educational. And basically, it was really interesting to see what craft means to different people with different mindsets from different perspectives. Yeah, man. And everyone in that room was an expert in their own right. So it really just felt like I was sitting amongst a giant. You know, I was the youngest even. I was like, oh my God, I'm in above my head. And it was really, really fun.
Did you feel intimidated at all?
Only when I actually got the invite, because then I went to go check and stalk people, right? I stalked them. Yeah. But by the time I was in the room, I really felt very welcomed by a lot of people. Our jury was actually quite balanced, women versus men, you know? And the women were very warm, welcoming, and the men were very, I guess, fair. And I think just aware of, I guess, their voices and influence in the room. So it was really a very fair space and open space to be in.
That's good, man. In the film category, what were your favorite pieces there?
Sure. Yes, I mean, yeah, I had the privilege of judging Filmcraft this year. And honestly, it genuinely far exceeded my expectations in terms of what the experience of judging was like. I think up front in the preliminary rounds before we were in Cannes physically in the room, there was an enormous amount of work to get through. And you want to give every piece its fair amount of time. And it felt like an enormous amount of work and working in isolation. But the minute we got into the room, it became a really exciting and stimulating process. And I found it enormously rewarding. And I feel that I learned, you know, a huge amount from the process. I think, as Tandeka said, it's such an incredible experience to be able to look at work from so many different perspectives when it comes to age, race, gender, heritage. And, you know, so when you're in the room and you're discussing a single piece, you're seeing it in ways that you would never have seen it in isolation. And it kind of, you know, shifts your perspective on work. And I think for that reason, it was really an enormous learning curve. What were some of my favorite work? Wow, there were some really incredible pieces. There was a music video by The Blaze for a song called Madly, the poem, one in directing and cinematography. That was a really evocative and emotionally striking piece that has this beautiful balance of irreverence and attitude, and at the same time, a very heartfelt, touching message. Yeah, that was a standout piece for me.
Cool, man. I mean, I judge direct. And for me, firstly, I think there was way too much work in there. I don't know how you guys felt about that. Like, so many entries. And the tough thing, not talking about the quality of the work, is treating it as serious as you need to, because you need to give every piece its due respect. I think that took up a lot of time, man. It's really not a easy thing to do, right? Like even for the online section, there was so much to go through, and you got to watch the video, you got to read through the write-ups and give every piece of work a fair chance, which is difficult to do, but I think it's needed. The one thing for me, I don't really want to talk about the quality of the work. I think what's nice about judging is you kind of get to look behind the curtain and see what happens in the room, the conversations that eventually lead to work being awarded. And that for me was fascinating. You know, you could see how, if you do have a powerful voice, how you could sway things, you know? So for me, the one thing that I took away that was important, I think, like, more than anything else, you have to have an undeniably great piece of work so that there's no question, right? We went into detail to make sure that we awarded the right work. So I think, you know, for us as South Africa, firstly, we have to make sure we produce and we're entering an undeniable piece of work. There's no more chance taking, right? You know, you can't just, let's see what happens, because it's expensive. And the work that judges are doing are extensive. You know, they're really getting into it and questioning everything. So your work needs to be undeniable. And you do definitely have to have your business results at a high level. You know, without the results, nothing's happening. So that for me was something I took out and I thought was something that I want to share with everyone back in our agency and to anyone who wants to listen. You know, undeniable. It must be great work.
Definitely. I think undeniable is a great word to kind of take away and kind of pin to this experience. I think that on the Filmcraft jury, what needed to be undeniable about the work was its emotional impact. I think that was the one thing that was really kind of entirely agreed upon amongst all 10 of the jury, was that all of the work that was kind of elevated to take home Lions was work that was undeniably emotive. It had an undeniable emotional effect. And when I say emotional, I'm not talking weeping in tears, but humor, awe, its excitement, intrigue. All of the work that we awarded immediately strikes an undeniable emotional chord.
Yeah, I think that's important. So, you know, like, the purpose of our talk is, it's called a Cannes plan, right? So I think what people want to hear from us is what they should be doing, you know, to get up on stage next year. And when we're talking, I think, like, you know, I know undeniable sounds like maybe a hard thing to attain, but I definitely think we have the talent and ability to create undeniable work in South Africa. We're just not getting it sold. I don't know why that is happening. You know, for me, that's like the biggest issue, because I can almost guarantee you in every agency, there's creatives who in their top drawer, or bottom drawer, have some work that is worthy of metal, you know? And this year we didn't shine, right? Let's be honest. I mean, what do we got to do to get those great ideas through? So Tandeka, from a craft point of view, you think we're lacking? What do you think we should do to lift the craft of our work?
You know, look, I think for me, it's a case of, in my experience, I think we put in craft. I think that, unfortunately, it's 2024 and we also are in a space where the turnaround times have become so much quicker. People want their stuff now. The deadline is tomorrow. We're also, as a business, as an industry, also selling that, right? Because we want business. We're selling some module of quick turnarounds to get the, you know, bottom line of business.
But agility.
I think that for me, and what you just said really, really triggered me, when you're like, every creative has a drawer just of like decks, just collecting dust of like ideas that have never seen the light of day. Great ideas at that, because sometimes it's either a budget thing or maybe Tony Lee client is afraid or whatever. But, and you know, that aside, that relationship aside, right? Because you also sometimes just have clients who unfortunately just don't want to push that boundary, and that's okay. But I do think that in the midst of us being quick about everything, I think that we need to actually go back to giving craft time, because I have learned in my experience that, you know, craft first takes time. I used to have a very annoying lecturer back in AAA.
Don't mention names.
And love him, appreciate him. Okay. But he used to make us do things over and over again by hand, you know? Yeah. And it was just like, at that age, I'm like, why? And as I was starting in the industry and coming up, and other creative directors and ECDs and CCOs, they're just like, made me redo things over and over again. And even by then, I didn't know why. And then when it comes to hearing stories behind the scenes of the work that actually wins out there at Cannes, right? You then find out that this job or this project has been going on for a year or two. It took them that long to get the work out. And I think we need to give ourselves that leeway, that grace to sometimes push.
Get it right.
And yes, and in between our briefs, still remember to go and check on that and work further on that job. Because I think it's a bit unrealistic to think that great work can actually happen over 2 weeks or 2 months. It's not enough. And I know.
Just on that point, we had a couple of pieces that we didn't award purely because we thought they had rushed it. And we would say things like, you know what, if they waited till next year and they did it properly, they could have definitely got something. So it's good to see the people who took their time. It was clear, put the right amount of time and energy and effort into their project, and the others who rushed to win. Yeah. Look, I think there's a fear creators have because, quite frankly, some ideas do have a shelf life and they don't feel as fresh as they do when you have them and you want to get it out quicker, but it doesn't help you when you rush it. So I think your points about having the time to craft stuff is important, but it's hard to do in the business world. Like agility is one thing that annoys me. Like, I've started hating that word, right? Because it's good to be agile. Like, for example, if you remember the Heinz and seemingly Ranch piece that did really, really well, where they made that new sauce, it is Heinz ketchup and ranch, and they called it Heinz and seemingly Ranch. And they were really agile because they pounced on a tweet from Taylor Swift, right? Mm. And they worked quickly. The turnaround time was cool. That version of agility I love, but the version of agility that's required of us here is a little different for me. And when you look into it, it seems like agility is there to mask poor planning. And people don't have their brand plans planned quickly. Oh, we need an agency that's agile. No, you need to plan properly. And then the work will flow. And I think that, to your point as well, if things are planned properly, we can have more time to make stuff better. Everything seems like it needs to be done in 5 seconds and be ready quickly. And I think that's hurting the work, you know?
Yep.
Z, what's your take on agility, on craft?
So, yeah, I mean, look, I hate to make this an echo chamber, but I couldn't agree with you guys more, right? I think that what it's been feeling like to me is that we've been through a scary time through the pandemic and coming out of it. And it feels like a lot of what our industry's reaction to that period has been kind of a lot of fear-based thinking. And I think that we choose to be quote unquote agile or to rush things when we're making decisions from a place of fear. And I feel like, ironically, trying to play it safe and rush things across the line is unfortunately at odds with making exceptional, undeniable work, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Can I add that? I'm also not advocating to say that, oh, craft takes years to get correct. I think that, one, with years of experience, you get better at craft. You become highly more adaptive, and you know how to react, and you're better at spotting good ideas and finding better solutions, because at first it takes you time. You got to practice. And then all of a sudden you have more heart for it, and therefore you're more committed to it. And then you enjoy it. And then by the time you're at a higher level, whether it's CD or ECD or whatever, it just becomes effortless, right? Because that muscle is strong, you then really know what to look for and know who to partner with to bring that idea to life in a much shorter time. But still, it needs its time in the sun, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tandika. I think when you have time, you can let stuff circle around your head so you can formulate decent opinions. I think even not just with craft, I think with decision making and experience, you'd make better decisions quicker, right? But I think it would be nice if you had the time to think about stuff a bit more. How often do you find yourself with a project, you'd be like, shit, man, if I just had more time, I could have done it like this, I could have done it like that. And Z, for you, bro, producing film, like, I know I've briefed you many times, right? I know, like, the timelines are seeming to be shorter and shorter. Do you think that's one of the reasons maybe that's stopping us from walking up on stage from a craft point of view? You think if we had a little bit more time, produce?
I do feel that the timelines kind of being so tight are you know, it's definitely a contributing factor to what's holding us back from walking up on stage in the film craft category. Interestingly, in film craft, you need time to simplify the work. I think in film craft, without time, we can end up doing too much. I think with time, you know, you can start to consolidate the ideas, strip away the fat, and really get down to core of the idea. And I think that the job of film craft is to support the idea, not to shine above it. Mm. And I think when you're rushing, you kind of just throw everything at the kitchen sink at it. And you kind of, we end up with a lot of work that's, I think, doing too much, to be honest. Mm. I think when you have the time, you can sit with it and really ask yourself and really debate with the entire team, with the entire crew, what is the idea and what does the film craft need to elevate? What does the film craft need to point at? And I think we end up making a lot of work where the film craft is just pointing all over the place. And I do think that a large amount of that comes down to time.
Okay. And Z, at your, for your full circle speech, you said something about the standard of work in South Africa being good, but it's the same kind of work every year. Can you elaborate on that for a little bit for us, please, man?
Basically, I was asking myself, you know, kind of, what is it that's stopping us? Because I've seen our work. I don't think there's any doubt that we make good work here. And in, specifically in the film craft category, we definitely make good work, but none of it kind of made it to the film craft shortlist. And when I started kind of asking what that's about, is that it felt like so much of the work that made it to the shortlist and that, you know, that won Lions was work that was pushing forward, work that was challenging, you know, was challenging the conversation that we were having as an industry last year. It feels like we might be stuck in a bit of a loop of emulating our own work from the last year, or even emulating the international award-winning work from last year, as opposed to engaging in today's conversation.
Wow, that's such a huge point. That's also the reason why I'm not so keen on talking about trends, right? To your point, I think we should be creating them instead of following them. And I think a lot of times, even in agencies, you get references from great works. Not bad to have great work as references, but it's also important for us to push our own new ideas and try things. We are a storytelling nation. We got so many cool ways of telling stories. Do you guys think we emulate other styles too much, or what do you think, Tandeka? What else could we do to make sure more of us are walking up on stage next year? In your hearts of hearts, what do you feel we're lacking? What can we do to become better? Because we have the talent, right? What's stopping us? What do you think we could do?
And look, I mean, to a certain extent, I think we need to start asking of the work differently, right? So we need the briefs to be different. And I'm not even trying to, you know, be plotting blame here and there, but I think we also need to interrogate the brief. And as you're talking, like literally when you mentioned the word trends, I was also thinking the same thing, because we are answering briefs at the speed of trends. And it's tiring. I find that to an extent, we also need to be open to finding solutions in like non-traditional places, right? Mm. As in, not to take food away from all of the people who are the go-to people to execute something in terms of being a supplier or anything, right? So from directors, producers, stylists, everything. Mm-hmm. But I also do think that sometimes if the job really needs a really, really good seamstress or a really, really good director or a really, really good this and that, then let's go for that. Because we are also trying to cut budgets and costs and work time by also going to people who are supposedly multi-faceted. And nothing wrong with that. But sometimes it actually works out so much better when you end up going to work with someone who is literally renowned for being good at that one thing. Because being good at that one thing also helps cut the time in half. That person's got higher expertise of that field, as opposed to when sometimes you go to a person who is jack of all trades. They're touching here and there, and not everything is getting the same amount of time, and therefore we're lacking somewhere where we should actually be equally at a higher standard as everything else within the process of the work we're doing, right? And then another point for me, and this is, careers are gonna hate me for this. I would say I've learned, the older I've gotten, is to share my ideas with everyone, because to share more of my ideas, because then one, it's like a problem shared is a problem halved. So therefore, mm-hmm. I've got more perspective, I've got more input. And worst case scenario is that then, hey, maybe Keith's input is not the one that I wanted, or it just is not, doesn't resonate. We move on to the next thing. Keith can always give another opinion. There's another day, another bit for another try. And I think that if I just share my ideas with all the creatives in my space and, you know, where it is I work, I think that the work gets better. I should not take anything too personally, because sometimes even a cultural difference could help push the work forward. Maybe I'm being too sensitive about the brief because I'm a female. And if I go get a different perspective from a man or an elderly woman, all of a sudden my world is opened up to finding a different solution. So for me, it really, and it's small things that really have a long-term impact for me, I feel, in terms of what can we do better, because I don't think it's an overnight solution or overnight wand or whatever it is.
I couldn't agree with you more on that last point, Tandega. I feel like, from my personal perspective, we need to do everything we can to dissolve any sort of culture of gatekeeping that we have in the industry. I think that sometimes there's such a competitive spirit amongst ourselves that we forget that we're trying to also be one team on the global stage.
Yeah.
And I think that sharing amongst ourselves is only going to serve to really elevate our work, and also kind of elevate our industry at large, in terms of kind of allowing us all to feel like we're in the same conversations. I think something else to answer your question, Keith, that, and this is quite specific to Filmcraft.
Yeah.
I feel like one of the things that perhaps we need to look at is to reference ourselves more than international work, or at least kind of tip that scale, because I think a lot of our approach to, you know, to Filmcraft, I'm only going to specifically speak to Filmcraft, is you can see it and we're trying to emulate, you know, European and US work in our aesthetic in certain ways. Of course, not all work, but a lot of our work. And we can't do that as well as them, you know, like we can't out Hollywood, but what we can do better than them is do our own thing, is speak with, you know, a South African voice. So it feels like in our treatments, in our decks, we should be referencing ourselves. We've got incredible photographers, stylists, you know, video artists. We have a wealth of culture that I find we're often, you know, leaving casting aside in favor of referencing people that are spending millions of dollars more than we have at our disposal.
Yeah. Z and T, I think there's a lot of cool points you guys are making. Like, Tandeka, back to you. What I was picking up from what you were saying is, like, don't be afraid of what the answer is. Accept it for what it is and go ahead and build it. Be open-minded and share your ideas with people so that you can get a variety of input and, you know, be wise enough to select the right ones and discard the ones that don't help you. Mm-hmm. And Z, your point about us being ourselves, I think, is also important. You know, like, maybe we should stop emulating the rest of the world. Not that I must say that that's exactly what we're doing, but there is a lot of it, right? We do emulate what we see in Hollywood and our inspiration. You know, I think if we can be ourselves a little bit more, because there is a lot to us that's interesting and entertaining. And I think stuff that we can build on and be undeniable, it's us. And I think people will gravitate towards stuff like that. I mean, even in movies or music, it's just like, and here we go again, talking in circles, right? But like with music, you look on the pop scene, or even in hip hop for that argument's sake, everybody's making the same thing until somebody comes along and says, you know what? I'm going to do this because it's me and it feels right. They put their best foot forward and deliver the results. And usually what happens when somebody does that, they stand out, right? And everybody gravitates towards them and be like, wow, this is amazing. So honesty is a big thing, right? Be ourselves. I'm going to move on from that a little bit. I think we got quite a nice grouping of things people can take away from this. But like another thing I want to talk about, do you think our clients are blocking us from making the best work possible? I think to a degree, some of them are. Because I just think some of them aren't even interested, right? Like I still think, like Z, you'll remember in my talk, I spoke about clients thinking that creatives just want to win awards, right? That's still a thing that I pick up. And like, you guys know, you were judges, we were all there. You see, like, the business results are so critical to your work being awarded that I don't know why some clients still believe that, oh, it's just this pretty award and creatives want to make these fancy, pretty things. That's not true. Without great business results, your work will not win. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, okay. I'm also gonna, you know, I'm gonna try tread lightly, but also with a dab of fuck it, you know? So
yeah.
Look, to answer your question, I do think so to an extent, yes.
Yeah.
I find that, how do I put this? I find that some clients are already stuck in a rut or a culture of or tradition of running the business a certain way, right? And especially when the business is quite big, right? When the group of the business is quite big. And therefore, internally, they must still go selling the work to other people above them and then above that person, right? So there's a lot of like stages and to get through just to get the work approved. Already the approval process is just watering the work down. Even if the marketer and the room with us had loved the work, by the time it takes
before you continue, I think you landed on a point there. And we must just highlight to make sure everybody, you know, hears and understands that approval processes are cumbersome, right? The approval process is quite hectic. I think that's something that is a problem. I mean, like, how do we overcome that? Because I think on a lot of our clients, you present to the marketing team, then you go to the CMO. In some cases, you go to the CEO, then to the board. I mean, what's going on? That's a tough one to fix. But I mean, do you think we should even waste our time attempting to fix that?
Honestly, I don't think there is fixing it. So for me, it's always a case of, I really wish you could just take me with you to go and present to the CMOs. Then I'm able to answer those tough questions that perhaps you might not have the know-how or the words or the jargons or whatever it is to really explain that, right? Sometimes it's a case of asking our clients. And look, sometimes they say no for their own reasons, because it's just a lot happening internally. I do think that they deserve some level of grace, because they also are going through their own things internally with their own KPIs and their own pressures. But I think that if you just allowed us in and for us to go fight the battles with you, I think that we would all be able to have a better conversation. Because now when you send me back an email with the feedback that you're also perhaps not even expressing properly, there's already a loss of a broken telephone.
Yeah. So Tandika, maybe what you're also saying there is, because you spoke about KPIs, right? Maybe what we're getting in the brief or briefs is not the right question. And maybe us, you know, or maybe even more senior people getting the briefs, well, not getting the CEO to brief, but truly understanding those KPIs so that it doesn't become a problem. So maybe the misalignment on the client side is something we could potentially help with. You know, maybe we can sit down and have different conversations with clients to truly and properly understand their KPIs so that the ideas we develop are properly trying to solve the actual problems that the business has. I think if we do that, then we'll definitely have a better chance of getting work over the line, because who wouldn't want to solve their actual KPIs? So maybe there is a misalignment, or in some cases, the true problems that our clients facing not being articulated to us properly. You know, maybe that's something we can start to, like I've always said it, I think this came from Pete years ago. He always told me, like, you know, sit down with your clients and have meetings with them. Take them out for lunch. Don't worry about account management. Don't tip on their toes. But go and speak to your clients. Ask them, how's business? You know, what's keeping you up at night? And I often find that when you do that, you do get to find things that never end up on briefs, you know? And I think that's one thing we should start doing, is like, you know, maybe truly understanding what our clients are going through so that the answers we develop are received with open arms. And I think if we promote that kind of thinking and behavior within our agencies, we'll be doing ourselves a massive favor and also doing something that our clients will appreciate, you know. But it is kind of sad that the real problems aren't articulated in the briefs, but I mean, I don't mind doing it work. I'm sure you guys don't. So maybe that's another point we can give people to, you know, hopefully get the better work sold and get us on stage. Anything else, Z, you think we could do to help get us on those stages and make sure we're winning? Because we have the talent and the ability. It's just, it is so annoying watching other countries do so well. And I know that, like, you know, the level of creative talents we have in this country is second to none. We're amazing. We're really good. What do you think, Z?
Yeah, I mean, I'm entirely with you. It's tragic to not see our talent translating on that stage. I really think that so much of what we need to do involves kind of taking some leaps. And I think kind of in part, I guess, I can't remember who said it at the Creative Circle event, but somebody was speaking about how, you know, our attention is such a, you know, the viewer's attention is such a specific and limited resource. And there are so many different things that are fighting, you know, for our attention. So for work to really translate, it has to genuinely be incredibly bold, unique, noteworthy, kind of the kind of thing that people are going to want to share with other people. And that's something, of course, we all know and we all talk about, but I find that something we so often forget because we end up box ticking. And I think that what we need to do is to encourage ourselves, to encourage everyone else to take more leaps and to take more leaps together. I think I can't stress enough what we were talking about earlier, once again, your circles dynamic, is that when we were talking about kind of gatekeeping and the level of kind of sharing that we do with other creatives, with, you know, other people in our industry, if you look at our music industry and you look at how Amapiano has taken over on a world stage, and you ask yourself, why is that happening? You look at any Amapiano track and you look at the credits list of how many artists are on that thing. And it reads like a novel, right?
Yeah.
It's a collective movement. These are artists that are all kind of involved in the same conversation, speaking together, building upon each other's work. There's this shared excitement, these shared ideas. And I think that in some ways, we're still kind of operating in silos here. So I think what we need to do is to be challenging ourselves to be more open with, I think Tandega put it so well, it's just kind of being open with our ideas and sharing them with the rest of our teams and sharing them across from an agency side, kind of sharing ideas with production house at an earlier stage and involving production in brainstorming things, then within agencies, within production houses, looking to one another for inspiration, to bounce ideas, to be challenged, to be asked to point out those places where we might just be doing things that are derivative or safe, and look for opportunities to do things that really cut through and that are bold and memorable and interesting.
Yeah. So there's an underlying tone of bravery there, Z, that you're highlighting. And I think Tandeka's points about us sharing our work and speaking more is an important thing. I would hope that in 2024, that's already happening. But I mean, people get scared to share ideas, you know, and even like your points about credit lists, I know that becomes an issue in agencies a lot, like who did what, who did this, and if you leave someone off. I think we should be open to having long, really long credit lists, you know what I'm saying? And bring more people in with different skill sets and talents, or share the work more. Z, you also mentioned something about audiences being bombarded with work and, you know, like the attention span and stuff like that. And something I picked up, I don't know if this is a trend, but maybe just an approach, is that, like, you know, a lot of the work I saw kind of forgot about generic audiences. You know, it seemed like the work was designed to fuel and empower like fans of brands. And I think that's how they overcame the, you know, with the amount of work people see every day. I think when you empower people to be part of this fandom, that the community that they're part of, I think that's when you resonate with people. I saw that in directs a lot, and you'll see a lot of work involving consumers in the work, not necessarily in the creation of the work, but getting them involved, pushing the things that they're passionate about. I mean, that's kind of like old school advertising in a sense, if you think focusing on your actual target market. Maybe that's something that we've thrown by the wayside in an attempt to appeal to everybody. Maybe we need to just have a stronger focus on who we're actually talking to, because then your story will resonate and then you'll be able to tell a story about that community and not necessarily treating them like an audience. You know, they're people, part of a community, a fandom, a thing they love. And maybe that will help. Z, just and another question.
I think that's such a major point. It's also building those communities, in, you know, creating those fandoms, because, you know, so much of the incredible work that's won is either speaking specifically to a, you know, a very specific audience, to a fandom, or it's the kind of work that is a rallying cry, that is crafting, that is building a community. And I think, you know, I think that's, yeah, like you said, old school, you know, old school vibes.
It feels like every time you're part of these conversations, or you hear these conversations, for me, it's almost the same conversations every year, you know, and like, not to diss it or to say we shouldn't be talking about themes and trends and stuff like that. But honestly, I think we kind of know everything. I think it's the application of some of these things that, you know, it's easy to talk about it, right? Oh, let's have lunch with clients. But a lot of people aren't you know, actually doing it. I think sometimes we just got to shut the fuck up and get on with it. You know, do the things we're talking about. You know, like Tandeka's points about sharing work. I'm going to start doing that more than I do it quite often, but I think I'm going to start opening it up to everybody and seeing, maybe even to people outside of our agency, you know, see what that does, because we got to support each other, I guess.
Definitely.
Yep. T, any last gems you want to throw out to the people that's going to guarantee them a Grand Prix next year?
Oh my God, the pressure guarantee. I mean, yo, man, I think maybe just to touch on what Z spoke about, bravery, you know? And I would love to challenge creatives, clients, client service, everyone to really be brave. You know, where I work, we have this saying of, we'll ask for permission later, really. Sometimes when we feel like our back's against the wall and we believe in an idea and we just want to have it, get it made. Because sometimes also with clients, right? It's like we try our best to package ideas, right? So it's the imagining and the understanding and the selling is smoother. But sometimes, you know, I think a cheat I've come to learn is sometimes it's just like, semi-make the idea. Like, semi-make it. Because then you get into that room and you just press play in whatever format and it gets received in a much better way. They're like, oh, actually. Because sometimes you go from having 10 slides to 2. You know what I mean? And the people in the room's attention span has literally been supported to understand that actually here's our intention. It's not as harmless as you think it's going to be, because unfortunately also people either get lost or put off by the logistics of things. And even though personally I embrace hard work, it's like, it's not going to happen if no one does anything. That's why even when you're on set and you're shooting something, there's 1,000 people there. You've got to make this thing happen. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, for me, it's like, I would really advocate for much, much more bravery, much more audacity, and also just much more grace. Let's be kinder to each other, because that's the only way you can encourage more bravery, right?
Absolutely.
And the older I get, it's like, I really can't come to work and take things personally or make my attitude influence other people. So also another thing is, we need to be an example around each other, around the next person. To our clients, to our peers, and to the people we report to or they report to us.
That's beautiful.
I think that's so well put, Tanega. I think one other thing that I'd like to add about this kind of conversation around bravery, Keith, I think you're right. This is, we know this, we say the same things every year, and it's about actually executing it. And I think one thing that I feel like we maybe need to remind ourselves is that in a way, bravery is the safe choice in the long run.
Right.
Yeah.
Because making the safe choice in the short term doesn't have longevity. It doesn't lead to incredible work, which doesn't lead to careers that grow. It doesn't lead to brands that grow. So bravery is the safe choice in the long run.
That's a great point from both of you. I mean, even in my full circle talk, I said bravery is probably the most overtraded word we have in our industry, but it still resonates. It's still true. Like if you take a chance, and I think the one thing that I think I'd appreciate from everybody in our industry is, like, even in your little group, right? If you're trying to be brave, try and be brave together, because it's usually just one person trying to do it, right? And that's what makes it difficult. Like, we're so scared of failure that, like, for example, if you present a brave idea, I'm sure some of you would have had something like this being said to you where it's like, okay, do it. But if it doesn't work, you know, that's the kind of thing that also stops us from even presenting brave ideas, because you feel like a standalone act. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And I think, like, even now I spoke about that input versus support thing, Z, where, like, if we were all supported each other, we're like, go for it. We got your back. Don't worry. The fear of failure kind of diminishes a little bit, and we do things. And I think nobody's going to be ridiculous and do something that's detrimental to the business. I mean, you know, when that idea or that thing pops up and you shut it down, but, like, we're not even being semi-brave, you know what I mean? Everything feels like we aiming for safe. And I think if we just change our focus a little bit, or our target rather, and try and do something that hasn't been done, that's a little scary. You know, I like to feel scared when I'm building something. My gut tells me that I'm doing the right thing. And I try and garner support, but I think it's not easy. And I think if we could get that support, it'd be cool. Imagine if
the only work that I've made that has won Lions we were terrified.
Yeah.
All of the work that's translated to wins, we were terrified during the process. And I remember that fear. Yeah, I think what you're saying is important. It's important to be afraid.
There was another thing I wanted to talk about quickly, because we still got time, but I wanted to talk about, what do you think about clients potentially making creative accolades a major KPI in their business? Because those creative accolades do a lot for the brands, right? Like, you get a lot of positive PR around it. The people within the company, not just the agency, you get profiled as someone who's pushing the industry, knowing what you're doing. Your voice becomes louder. You do things that take our industry forward. So I think it would be a cool thing if more brands, because there are a few that actually have creative accolades as their KPI, right? You look at, I think it's AB InBev that does it. And I think it's amazing that they do that. And look how much better their work is for that. Mm-hmm. It's really, really cool. What do you guys think about it? You think it's something clients should consider?
Absolutely. With AB InBev, let me put it this way. You know, when it comes to, like, maybe let's say the banking industry, right? To some extent, their briefs are a bit seasonal, right? Because then they know what to expect. They know that they need to perhaps start selling people to take up accounts or open accounts. And then it comes to a season where now we're doing savings and all of this and acquisition or whatever. So sometimes it's like, because maybe they feel like they're tick boxes, I think that they don't see any room to be adventurous about them, right? Or to be interesting about them. Where AB InBev is like, we're trying to engage people from a lifestyle point of view and really integrate ourselves into their lives and become part of their culture. Whereas I think that to an extent, I'm like, is it about educating our clients on the kind of impact they could receive and gain from, you know, winning and making accolades part of their KPIs? Because I feel like once a client tastes winning and tastes what that comes with, and not even like just the winning, but the exposure, right? As you're saying, and that experience, they then finally get it. And I think that's the only way to get it is to go through it, right?
100%.
And I know that's
absolutely
their hand to get to there, yes. But for me, and I've experienced this myself currently at my agency, where it literally was a case of demonstrating and showing them. And by the time the client started to win, they're like, is this what it is? It's like this here. I want to come back here, you know? So how can we get back there?
I think that's such a major, major point, which is like kind of allowing people to understand what it can mean to get that sort of momentum for a brand. I can't stop thinking about what Candy said at the Creative Circle event. Her point was, firstly, you've got to decide, do I fucking want it?
Yes.
Right? You're not going to win awards if you're not trying to win them. Like, first of all, you're not going to win awards by accident. You've got to decide, do I fucking want it? And she's, you know, sat on that stage and said, I fucking want it. And you know, what Kenzie's doing with their bet, you can 100% see that she is out for that goal. And if people don't want it, then, you know, there's no amount of work that everyone else can do that can make award-winning work if it didn't start from wanting to make exceptional award-winning work.
100%, see. Thank you for that last wonderful point. I think we've left people with enough ammunition and information to emulate in their day-to-day. I hope people share this podcast with as many people as possible. And I'd like to say thank you to Yuzi and Yutandeka for giving us your time this morning. I hope people find this useful. And thank you.
Amazing. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Talking Creative Circles is available wherever you get your podcasts.